some of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief.
Come on, church.
Thank you.
You can scan the QR code. You can go to the website address you see at the bottom of your screen. You can pick up one of these also and see that, or scan it with your phone, and it'll take you directly there. Or you can call the church's, the association office or the church office, and we'll be glad to share that with you. So don't forget the YouVersion Bible app that we have, and the new Bible study devotional that we're using there in that. You just download the app there on any of the platform stores there, Google Play or the Apple Store. Once you download it, you'll go into it to click that little magnifying glass to tap Discover. You'll search for our church. You'll set our church and the featured Bible study that we're doing is the Hoosier One 40-day devotional. You can start that anytime. I want to encourage you to start that now. We're halfway through the month of March. It would be a great opportunity so you can get that finished by the end of April, so you'll be ready for our new one at the beginning of the month of May. So encourage you to take the time to do that. Don't forget the Bless app. You'll notice that we're continuing to emphasize that. If you go to our church website, you're going to see this banner across the website there that you'll see on the screen that shows you the totals of where we are currently. This was downloaded from today. Last time that we downloaded that, it was the number that's changing is the number for the Begin With Prayer, and that has gone from 1,459 to 1,651. And so we praise the Lord for that. That's how many people are being prayed for in your neighborhoods and your communities. And then the second one, we went from 24 who were signed up to 25 who are signed up now, and we went from 13 who know Christ to 35 who know Christ. And so we just praise the Lord for that. I want to encourage you to continue praying for that, praying for being a blessing to people in your neighborhood. You'll notice on our Facebook page, one of the posts that is there that we just put up, I believe it was today, is our Vacation Bible School pre-enrollment. You can go ahead and do that. You can also go to our church website, and there's a little thing that scrolls at the home page there. It's like the third or fourth thing that scrolls there. You can click on it. It'll take you to our pre-registration form for you to go ahead and do that. The Easter egg hunt is coming up on the 28th, and there'll be some enrollment there too that you can get in on, at least just to enroll for the egg hunt. So we want to encourage you. That is also already on our social media platform. Share that as much as possible to get it out to your circle of friends. We want to get as much of the word out through that. We'll be sending it out as an ad to people also. So if you see that, like it, share it, do all those things so that we can get the word out there with that also. Again, let me just remind you, if you are giving us prayer requests tonight, you'll want to do that on Facebook. That's what we're looking at for the live, to see those that we'll add to our prayer list for tonight. You can do that in any of the other platforms. We see those comments that you make there. You can call the church office also and add that prayer request tomorrow if you want to do that way, but you can do it there live, and we'll try to include those in our prayer time tonight. So go ahead and take the time, give us any updates, give us any new prayer requests there. Brother Mike.
Good evening. Take your hymnals and turn to 406 or sing on the screens, but let's sing The Solid Rock. Miss Gail, don't stand if you can. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
All right. Thank you for those who are at home. You give us comments from time to time, and one of them is our sound was off, so hopefully you're getting the sound there. Give us a thumbs up. Let us know if you do have that there. So again, don't forget, see, we do have sound, so thank you. That helps us as we're going through. Sometimes we forget to push a button or something. So let me just remind you, we don't have Awana tonight, and so we didn't have our regular Wednesday night meal and stuff that normally goes on, but that will be back next Wednesday, so I want to encourage you to come for that. As we're doing part of the Bless app, one of the things on there is for us to encourage and invite people to come eat with us, whether that's you taking them out or them coming over to your house or inviting them to church for our Wednesday night meal. It's a free meal. It starts at 5 o'clock, and it's a great opportunity for you to talk with them, for us to, your friends here at church, to be able to talk with them also. So I encourage you, we only do that through the school year, so we've only got a few more weeks left of that, but we will be back next Wednesday after spring break here with that. So hopefully at home you've had an opportunity to get your prayer list downloaded. We have several that we want to make note of that have been some updates and some new ones that we've added to the prayer list, and one that I've already been given for tonight to add to the list. And so as we go through the list, we're going to start on the Howland Baptist Church family side there, about halfway down, go to the bottom. If there's any there, or even if there's some in the top part there that you want to give us an update on, or as we get to the end, if there's somebody else we missed that we need to add, please let us know that. You can do that on social media, on Facebook there also. All right, on our prayer list, we're going to start there with Brother Tommy Griffin on the Highland Baptist Church family side, a little bit more than halfway up. He is recovering at home. He had been in the hospital just for a day. They sent him back home. That was last weekend. So he is back at home. So keep him in your prayers as he continues to heal from the infection that he had. Remember Miss Carolyn Waller, as she continues to recover from her back surgery. She's doing better. Still not where she wants to be yet. But just continue to pray for the pain that she does experience. Same thing with Miss Gail McBride. With her surgery that she had, they had to put a brace on her, and she also has, a plate there in the back. So she still is in a lot of pain, so keep her in your prayers as she starts to begin some therapy there with her situation. But pray for the pain that she's been experiencing. Same thing also with Miss Gayla Effort. Seems like we have a lot of back issue problems there too. But Miss Gayla Effort, she still had been in a lot of pain from her back surgery. Brother Robert has some medical issues also, so pray for both of them. Miss Beth Kidd is back at home recovering. She's in good spirits there, so she would love to talk to you if you want to give her a call. She would love that. I want to remember Miss Linda Jones in prayer. She has been here, not been here, but she has some heart issues and things, so she has been in the hospital a couple of weeks ago, but now she was back home, so just keep her in your prayers as she continues to deal with those things. The last I'd heard from Leanne Wells there is that she was still in some pain from her hip, where they did the hip replacement surgery there, but she is slowly recovering, but still a lot of pain there, so pray for her as she continues to recover at home. I've not heard any more from Barbara Waller. Has anyone heard, have an update on her? Okay. We also have Roger Williams. He did well with his knee replacement surgery that he had this past week. And also Miss Kay is still continuing to heal from her fall, so pray for both of them. Miss Catherine Smith, we moved her this week because actually she's been at home for several weeks from the nursing home, but she's back at home recovering there, and so keep her in your prayers. And then you'll notice the next one that we've listed there is Brother Jimmy Gaddis. He had some chest discomfort yesterday. They took him to the hospital, did some EKGs, some other tests on him, blood work and stuff. They were going to do a stress test this morning, but they decided not to do that and opted to go ahead and do the heart catheterization tomorrow. So keep him in your prayers as he goes to that heart catheterization, that whatever they find there, they're able to take care of. But just pray for the Lord's will to be done for him. Any others that we need to add or update on the Highland Baptist Church family side? Right, and I don't see any online there. If we go over to the friends and family side, we'll go down to Jimmy Williams, which is halfway down there, who has cancer. That's Roger Williams' brother. Keep him in your prayers. Ken Crawford, who's a friend of Brian Tate. Miss Mary Leibig, she is back home with her medical issues there. She is enjoying being back home there, but family some is having to still rotate out to stay with her. That's Linda Smith's mother, so keep her in your prayers and keep the family in your prayers as they continue to be caregivers there for her. Remember Lonnie Lance, who is Faye Mae's brother who has cancer. Remember Hanka Graham. Any update on Hanka? Don't see one. Okay. We have Kim Saunders, who's a friend of Brian Tate's also. Keep her in your prayers. Alton Scroggs, he had his knee replacement surgery week before last. He's the pastor at Cumberland Baptist Church. Keep him in your prayers and his wife as she had her shoulder surgery about a month or two before. But keep both of them in your prayers. Bethany Curtis, who is a friend of Scarlett Carpenter, she's not here tonight to give us an update on her, but she was supposed to be finding out last week some of the results from her test last Thursday. So keep her in your prayers that those results were good. I remember Josiah Wendell. This was a preemie baby who had liver failure. They did do a liver transplant on the baby. As far as the last word I had from Ben Howell is that the baby did well with the liver transfer there. So keep the baby in your prayers. Keep the family in your prayers as they continue to deal with that. And then Tim Forsyth, he is the youth minister over at Trinity Baptist in Manchester. His cancer is back. They are trying to, at one point they were pretty much no hope, no further things that they were going to try to do, but they are trying to now get him healthy, strong enough to try to do some special treatments with him. So keep him and his family in your prayers that he'll gain the strength that he needs to be able to have those treatments that he needs. Brother Mike Stringfield had mentioned this one to us last week of Beth Durrell. This is a lady who is at his brother's church. She had just lost her son who passed away, and now she was awaiting a heart transplant. Is she still awaiting that? As far as we know. Okay, so she's still awaiting that heart transplant, so keep her in your prayers and that whole situation there. Summer Collins, it has my name out beside it, the Norman there, but it's actually from my daughter, Ashley. It is her husband Max's niece. It's his brother's daughter, who is 3 years old. She has, I forget the name of it, but it's a disease that she has that the skin is peeling off of her hands, of her arms, of her face, her lips, and everything. They have been able to give her some antibiotic that she could be able to go home, but they're still going to have some monitoring of her situation. She'll have to return to St. Louis for some follow-up visits there, but she's a three-year-old. They have a little baby that's just about 2 or 3 months old also that they're not having the same issues with, but taking care of that baby as well as now having their three-year-old with these medical issues. So keep them in your prayers, that Summer Collins. And then also Miss Linda Jones had asked prayer for her sister who had surgery last week is what Miss Linda had told me. She's, I want to say 92, something like that, in that area, late 80s, early 90s, and she had heart surgery That's hard to believe, but she did have heart surgery last week, and so just pray for her as she recovers from that, that things will go well. And then Ms. Pat asked me to add her aunt, Joanne Woodson. She's 92, and she has some health issues too, so we want to keep her in your prayers. That's Joanne Woodson. Any others that we need to add to the list, or any other updates on that part of the list? Looking on Facebook, and I don't see any over there yet either, but if you're there, go ahead and post those. We'll still try to catch those at the end of the service. We also have in the nursing home Miss Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Miss Beverly Daniels at Morning Point, Hoyt Farrell, who's at Legacy Nursing Home over in Manchester, Miss Mary Lee Stringfield. She's always in good spirits, always a good visit to go visit with. She's a joyous lady. She's at Lynchburg Nursing Home, got to visit with her the other day, and Suzanne Barton is doing really good. Eddie messaged me earlier this afternoon, and the word that he gave me was that she had a bowl of potato soup, a sweet tea, and stood to transfer from the chair to the bed. He said, I'd call that a good day, and that is a good day. So we praise the Lord for that, that she is doing much better. She still has a little ways to go, but keep her in your prayers. Anybody else? Okay, and that, for those of you at home, is an update on Lincoln Hastings, a little baby that we've been praying for. He did have a surgery last week. It was a five-hour surgery on his lungs, but he did well, is back at home, and is recovering at home. So praise the Lord for that. Do continue to keep them in your prayers. Anybody else? She is doing well from her surgery. Yeah, she's getting to the point where she's about got the, this is our daughter, for those of you who maybe online didn't hear that, it's Ashley, our daughter. She has gotten about the range of motion that she's gonna get back from therapy with that. She has a plate that's in the, it's actually in this arm, has the plate in the elbow there and about five or six screws that she has in that too. So, but she is doing well. They are still making plans to move back here end of April, 1st of May. So, anybody else? All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer then for these that we've mentioned, maybe some other unspoken requests that you have, maybe some personal needs that maybe you know and the Lord knows that we want to uplift before Him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness. Thank you for being with us tonight. And Father, we just pray for your will to be done in our hearts and our lives. We come before you, Lord, knowing that we are not worthy to even come before your throne of grace. Lord, we come first and foremost asking you to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. We don't want anything to hinder our prayers with you. You have told us in your word that hold on to iniquity, to not deal with sin in our hearts, blocks that relationship with you, and you will not hear from on high. So, Father, I pray that tonight you will forgive us of our sins, cleanse us, cast those sins as far as the east is from the west, renew us to a right relationship with you, that we might be able to come before your throne of grace with boldness, with confidence, knowing, Lord, that you will hear our prayers tonight, especially as we are praying on behalf and interceding on behalf of many people that are on this prayer list, some we mentioned, some that we did not. You know, Lord, that a lot of these needs are physical needs, are medical needs, and Father, we just pray that you would divinely intervene to bring healing to the body. We know that you are powerful and capable and able, and so we pray, God, that you would. Father, we pray that you'll show your power in a glorious and mighty way, that we might use it as a testimony to testify of your great power, not only your power to bring physical healing, but ultimately to bring this greatest need to us, the spiritual healing, the salvation from our sins. And so, Father, I pray that you will display your glory glory and your majesty as you bring about your will in each one of these lives. Lord, we know that there are some who may have still a road ahead for them, that they're going through a valley time in their lives. We pray that you will walk with them, that you will guide them, you will be with them. They'll find their source of strength in you. For those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that through these times, that would be the only place they could look and the only place they could turn, that you would bring people across their path, bring us across their paths to encourage them towards faith in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just pray for your will to be done in their lives. Lord, there are other needs that go along with these physical needs, sometimes financial needs, sometimes family needs, financial needs, emotional needs also. And so, Father, we just pray that all of those things are not too much for you, the powerful and almighty God, to handle. We uplift them to you, and we ask, Lord, for your will to be done in each one of these people's hearts and lives. We pray, God, that you will be glorified as you provide for every need that they had. You told us, Lord, in your word that your grace is sufficient for all of our needs, so pour out your grace, Lord, upon them in a special, special way. Lord, we pray tonight that you would also be with our children who are normally here for Awana as they're on spring break this week. Lord, I pray that you will just continue to guard them, protect them, Lord, help them, Lord, to recall scriptures that they've been memorizing throughout this year, to help them to remain faithful in their walk with you. We pray, Lord, that you will bring them back safely and healthy the next time we meet again with Awana next Wednesday. Father, we just pray for your blessings upon them. We pray for all of our teachers and workers also who are getting that much needed break. We pray that they will come back refreshed, revived, and ready to lead these kids throughout the remainder of the school year in teaching them the Word of God. We pray for our youth. We pray, God, that you'll just continue to stir their hearts to be more faithful to you, to have a heart for you, to desire you. Lord, we know the culture they live in, the culture that's around them, their peers, the people and influence that are around them want to pull them away from you. And so, Father, I pray that you would place a hedge of protection about the hearts and minds of our youth. Father, that you will give them the truths of your word as a defense against the enemy. Father, to let your word be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path to guide them in each and every step of each and every day. Lord, that you would use them as a powerful witness amongst their peers at school and even at home. Father, we pray for your blessings upon them also. And be with us tonight, Lord, as we study once again in the book of Jeremiah. I pray, God, that the word of God here in Jeremiah would still be powerful and alive to us. Lord, this is an Old Testament book, and sometimes when we look at the Old Testament, we think, well, what does that have to do with me today? I pray that we will see the relevancy of this passage and this scripture for us tonight. Father, I pray that you would use it to stir our hearts to a more faithful walk with you. And for those who may not know Christ, use it, Lord, to share the gospel message with them, that they would come to faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. So bless us tonight, Lord, as we study your word. We ask, Lord, for your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And normally, we would start right into the scripture, but I had a song that I wanted to share with you before we get into the scripture tonight. So if you'll go ahead, just Janice.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the mercy falls. I'll raise my hands, praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold. You've never left my side, and though my heart And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in this storm, yeah. Though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in this storm, I'll praise you in this storm. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker.
That you'll see how that applies in our scripture tonight. Our passage tonight comes from Jeremiah chapter 17. I've entitled this message, which is not the title there. I did not get the title changed on the screen there. But the title of our message tonight is Our Hope Comes From the Lord. It is the correct scripture minus the 21. It goes all the way to 27 that we'll be looking at tonight also. But our hope comes from the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. You know, every one of us faces eventually a moment when life presses in and demands a decision. It may come through some crisis that we're experiencing. It may come through a conflict. It may come through some financial strain. It may come through some relationship issue or problem, or maybe just some sudden opportunity. Whatever the situation, the pressure begins to build and the question becomes unavoidable: what am I supposed to do? What am I going to do? And in moments like that, our instincts usually rise quickly. We start calculating. We start analyzing our options. We start imagining the outcomes. And if we're not careful, we'll simply follow what seems right in our thinking. But if you've walked with God for any length of time, you know something important, that your first instinct is not always the best one. In fact, sometimes the most gracious thing that God does for us is to slow us down long enough to realize that acting on impulse would lead us in the wrong direction. And that pause places us, if you will, at a crossroads. On one side is the path of self-reliance. We trust our own reasoning. We trust our own feelings. We trust our own understanding of situations. And on the other side is the path of faith, that we trust what God says in His Word, even when it may run contrary to what feels natural here or even seems logical in our minds. At that moment, the real issue is not the crisis itself. The real issue is trust. Who will you trust? Will you trust yourself or will you trust God? Where does your hope come from? Does it come from ourselves or does it come from God? That's exactly the question that Jeremiah places before us in Jeremiah chapter 17. In just a few powerful verses here, he contrasts two lives: the life that trusts in human strength and the life that trusts in the Lord. One, he says, withers like a shrub in the desert. The other flourishes like a tree planted beside living water, which reminds us of Psalm chapter 1. And so the difference between those two lives comes down to that single decision: where will I place my trust? Does my hope, does my help come from the Lord? So I want you to see in the first four verses here tonight, and in the last verses, 19 through 27, I want you to see the context that Jeremiah lays out for us for what he's about to tell the people and what God is speaking to us in this chapter. In Jeremiah 17, verse 1 through verse 4, we remember that Judah's sin has already been firmly established through Jeremiah. But in this chapter, in chapter 17, the Lord speaks with an especially sobering finality. Look at what verse 1 through verse 4 says. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with a point of diamond. It is engraved on the tablet of their heart. Pay special attention to that. It is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of their altars. Verse 2. While their children remember their altars and their asherim beside every green tree and on the high hills, on the mountains in the open country, your wealth and all your treasures, I will give you spoil as the price of your high places for sin throughout all your territory. You shall loosen your hand from your heritage that I gave you, and I will make you serve your enemies in a land that you do not know, for in my anger a fire is kindled that shall burn forever. So we're just going to stop with those first four verses. We'll catch the other verses here in just a moment. So we remember here that God is speaking here to them, an especially sobering finality, but he's already established, firmly established, throughout the book here already, Judah's sins. And in that same spirit that you see back in chapter 13, God says that the nation's condition has reached a point where there's no immediate hope of reversal. Understand this, there does come a place and a time. God is gracious, God is long-suffering. The Bible tells us over and over he's not wanting anyone to perish. He is desiring for all to come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But there comes a point where there's a line that does get crossed. And the nation's condition here had reached a point where there was no immediate hope of reversal. Their sin had become deeply ingrained. That's why I wanted you to pay attention to verse 1, especially there. Notice it's ingrained, but not only is it ingrained, it has been etched. It has been etched. It has been engraved on the tablet of their hearts. That's important here. That's important language there. It's not just been etched on paper, not just been written out on paper. It has been etched on their hearts. The language in that verse is very striking because their rebellion, their sin has left a mark, he's saying, that simply cannot be erased. You know, you write something with pencil on a piece of paper, you can take an eraser and erase it. But if something's been engraved into something, you can't just take that eraser and erase it off. It's there, it's permanent. And their rebellion had left that permanent mark upon them that could not be simply erased. And so the particular sin that God begins to highlight about them is their idolatry. The people had turned away from the living God and had given their devotion to idols, idols of wood and metal made of their hands. And because of that, the inheritance that God had intended for them, the blessing he intended to give to them, that inheritance God intended to give to them would be taken away. And instead of enjoying life in the promised land, he says, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to take you out of that land. I'm going to take you to a place you don't even know, and you're going to serve in a foreign land that you don't even know. This exile reflects a deeper spiritual reality. Because when people refuse to know God through his word, you eventually find yourself in a place of confusion and spiritual unfamiliarity. These people who refused to know God were not going to wander. They were now going to wander in a land that they did not know. And he says that their ignorance is not something that was just an accident. This was ongoing in their lives. It was cultivated in their lives. They desired to know anything except God. Jeremiah has been preaching to them over and over and over the message. And they don't want to hear it. It's like they're sticking their fingers in their ears and saying, blah, 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 we don't want to hear anything. And so they created things in the place of the one true creator. And while Israel did this through physical idols, we often do the same thing in more subtle ways, replacing God with whatever captures our devotion, our hearts. You get over near the end of the chapter, and that's where we want to go to now, in verse 19 through verse 27, God confronts another sin in their lives, not only the sin of idolatry, but one that is closely connected to it, and that's the sin of breaking the Sabbath here. Verse 19 down through verse 27. Thus said the Lord to me, go and stand in the people's gate, by which the kings of Judah enter, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take care for the sake of your lives, and do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day, or bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. And do not carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy, as I commanded your fathers. Yet they did not listen or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck, that they might not hear and receive instruction. Verse 24. He says, but if you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring in no burdens by the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy and do no work on it, then there shall enter by the gates of this city kings and princes who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, and they and their officials, the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall be inhabited forever. And people shall come from the cities of Judah and the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the Shephelah, from the hill country, from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and frankincense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. But if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy, and not to bear a burden and enter by the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem and shall not be quenched. Now, at first glance, you read this, and it might seem like, well, this sin's a little less severe than idolatry. But the Sabbath was a sign of Israel's covenant relationship with God. It was to remind the people that their lives revolved around him and not themselves. It's what the Lord's Day is for us. It's not about us. It's about worshiping the Lord. And so to ignore the Sabbath for them was to disregard the one who had created them. It was to disregard the one who had delivered them. So when you read what happens in those first verses, it is revealing in them not keeping the Sabbath where their heart is. That's why they're worshiping these false gods. And so he comes to verse 5 that we're going to look at in just a moment, and the tone begins to shift. And the passage begins to read now like a collection, if you will, of wisdom sayings, of wisdom statements, kind of like those that are found in the book of Proverbs. And these statements contrast two different ways of living. One leads to a curse, the other leads to a blessing. And yet these passages are also a reminder of that sobering truth that we cannot even fully know our own hearts. Because of that, our confidence cannot rest in ourselves. Our hope must be in the Lord who reigns from his throne. And that is why Jeremiah himself ultimately finds refuge in God despite all the trouble that is surrounding him. But before we get to there, this passage invites us to consider that central question: where is our confidence? Whom do we trust? So let's look at the two different paths here. Trusting self is a cursed life. Trusting self is a cursed life. You see this in verse 5 down to verse 6. In verse 5 and verse 6 it says, "Thus says the Lord," here's the first path that people take, "cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh, human flesh, his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." Here's what he's like. "He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land." Now, Jeremiah begins here with a direct warning. He's saying here that the person who treats their own strength as their greatest resource is placing themselves under a curse. And that idea echoes what Jeremiah had already said earlier, if you go back to chapter 9, where the Lord had said that the wise should not boast in wisdom. They shouldn't boast in their own strength. The wealthy shouldn't boast in their riches, because none of that will get you anywhere. Instead, the only legitimate boasting is in understanding and knowing the Lord. And so in verse 5 and verse 6 here, Jeremiah is laying out and drawing a sharp connection between trusting ourselves and turning away from God. Those two actions are inseparable. If you are turning to yourself for help and for guidance, if you're turning to people for help and for guidance, you are by the act that you're doing, you're turning yourself away from God. Now notice here that those two actions are inseparable, because when we place our ultimate confidence in our own ability, when we place our confidence in our own reasoning, in our own resources, you're inevitably moving away from your dependence on the Lord. And the result is a life, he says, that resembles a shrub out in the desert. Could you imagine that? A shrub that's out in the desert, it's not getting any moisture that it needs. It's not growing. It's not flourishing. It's not producing greenery, much less any kind of fruit upon it. It's like a dry shrub in the desert that's isolated, that's parched, that's unable to flourish. That's an image that exposes the danger of relying on yourself. And so when we put ourselves first, when we consult only ourselves, we limit our perspective to human wisdom rather than divine wisdom. And in the end, we become spiritually dry and increasingly alone in our decisions. Now, it's important for us as believers that we do have godly influences around us, of godly people who are giving us godly wisdom. And we do want people pouring into us godly wisdom, but you don't want influences that are pouring into your life of human wisdom, of earthly wisdom. And so understand that we were not designed To sustain ourselves spiritually is what Jeremiah is telling us. Just like a plant requires water to survive, our souls require the life-giving truth of God's word. And when you choose to rely solely on your own strength, you are effectively cutting yourself off from the very source that sustains life. So trusting in yourself is the cursed life that he lays out before us. But notice the contrast, that trusting God is the blessed life. You find that in verse 7 and verse 8. But he contrasts, first he said, cursed is the man in verse 5. Now he says, blessed is the man in verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Take your Bibles. This is not on the screen, but if you'll take your Bibles and turn back over to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 tells us that same type of phrasing. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's the same idea that Jeremiah is giving here. So when Jeremiah is speaking this word from the Lord to the people of Israel, to the people of Judah, it's bringing up thoughts to them in their hearts and their minds of what David wrote in Psalm 1. They naturally would have known those psalms. They sang those psalms all the time. That's a very familiar one to us as we look at the psalms. And it would have reminded them and jogged their memory. That's right. Notice this illustration here that he gives. So in contrast to the cursed life stands the blessed life. And he describes that blessed person as somebody who has confidence. And that confidence is not in themselves, but that confidence rests in the Lord. That person's life is oriented around God. Their moral and their spiritual compass is set by a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that relationship becomes the guiding direction for their life. So Jeremiah compares that person, unlike the shrub out in the desert that can't produce anything, he compares it to a tree that's planted beside the flowing streams. We said that echoes that Psalm chapter 1, where the righteous are described in those same terms. A tree planted by water, think about it, has a constant source of nourishment. And because its roots grow into the soil there and are pulling moisture and water from that stream even, from that supply, that continuous supply, it continues to grow and produce fruit even when conditions become difficult. So what Jeremiah is saying here is that for either one of these, the shrub is surely going to have difficulties growing, trying to grow out there in the desert, and also the tree that's planted by the streams of water is going to have difficulties. He's not saying that once you trust in God, once you trust in Jesus, that everything's going to be a bed of roses and you're never going to have any problems. But what he's saying here is when those problems come, that shrub out in the desert doesn't stand a chance. But that tree that's planted by the stream of living water pulls nourishment from that, so that no matter what happens, even in the difficulties, it continues to produce. And so that passage says that this tree doesn't fear when the heat comes. It's not anxious during a drought, he's saying. And as we said, that doesn't mean that drought never comes. It's simply that this tree is positioned near a source that sustains it. Its stability comes from its location. It doesn't depend on its own strength. It depends on the steady supply of that water beneath it. What is he saying to us? That picture illustrates the believer whose life is rooted in the Word of God. That trials may come in your life, Pressures, certainly, even as a believer, are still going to rise, and yet the believer who continually draws nourishment from God's truth will endure. The sustaining power is not found in your strength. It is found in the source from which you draw life, and that is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Then notice verse 9 down to verse 11, that God knows us more than we know ourselves. Verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Like the partridge that gathers a brood that she did not hatch, so is he who gets riches, but not by justice. In the midst of his days they will leave him, and at his end he will be a fool." And so notice here, just when we begin to think we're understanding ourselves, Jeremiah reminds us of a difficult truth. The human heart is deceptive. We often assume that we know our own motives. We know our own intentions. But God tells us that the heart is beyond our ability to fully understand. Our own self-assessment even. If you look at yourself and you begin to think about what are your problems, what are your faults, what are your sins, you know what we tend to do? Every single time, almost always, we interpret our actions in the most favorable light that we can. I'm not too bad. I'm not like this person or that person. I could be that way. Jeremiah says that our minds are poor instruments for measuring the conditions of our heart, like a faulty medical test, or our evaluations are skewed by our natural tendency to assume that we're better than we really are. And yet, while we cannot see our hearts clearly, God can. And he searches the heart, and he examines the inner person. And for that reason, the Word of God functions for us like a mirror. You read God's Word, and it's like a mirror, and you begin to see who you truly are. It reveals what is truly present within us. And when you encounter God through his word, our spiritual condition becomes visible. Isaiah experienced it when he saw the Lord in his holiness. In that moment, Isaiah suddenly recognized the depth of his own sinfulness, and he cried out and said, "Oh, I am wicked, I am ruined." You see, the clearer his vision of God became, the clearer his understanding of himself became as well. And Jeremiah illustrates that principle with a proverb about dishonest gain. A person who gathers wealth unjustly may appear successful for a time, but eventually what that person has gathered, it's gone. It disappears. Like a bird sitting on eggs that aren't its own. The result is ultimately, the ultimate result is it leaves them empty. And so self-deception can produce temporary gain, but it never leads to lasting security. So that brings us to the close here. Our trust is to be in the Lord, then. Where is my hope? My hope is to be in the Lord. Verse 12 down to verse 18. O glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Verse 14. Here's his prayer. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. What did we hear in that song? I'll praise you even in the storm. Behold, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come. I have not run away from being your shepherd, nor have I desired the day of sickness. You know what came out of my lips. It was before your face. Be not a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let those be put to shame who persecute me, but let me not be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of disaster, destroy them with double destruction. So having exposed the weakness of human self-reliance, Jeremiah now directs our attention to the true source of hope. And he reminds us in these verses here that there's a throne in heaven and that God reigns over all things and his authority stands above every earthly circumstance. And this vision of God's throne anticipates the scene that we read about later in the book of Revelation, where all of creation one day, saved and lost, are one day going to acknowledge the sovereignty of God and the Lamb, because that reality is true. And so Jeremiah says that the Lord is the hope of Israel. Those who abandon him will ultimately be put to shame. Their names are going to fade like writing in the dust because they've turned away from the fountain of living water. Did you see that? Their names are going to fade like writing in the dust. But you remember that contrast earlier in the chapter? Sin was described as something that was permanently engraved. And yet those who reject God ultimately find their own legacy erased like words quickly blown away. Jeremiah understands this deeply, that though he was surrounded by trouble, though he was surrounded by opposition, he turns to God as his refuge. And in the midst of difficulty, he asks the Lord, Lord, be my healer, be my salvation, be my place of protection. His hope, he says, is not coming from the circumstances improving, but from knowing the one who he can find true security in. Imagine visiting a doctor because you don't feel good. You describe your symptoms, and without examining you or even running any tests, the doctor immediately writes a prescription based entirely on what you think is wrong with you. How ludicrous that would be, wouldn't it? To go to the doctor and he bases his prescription on what you tell him is wrong with you without even examining you. And yet spiritually, many people do the very same thing. We try to diagnose our own condition in the exact same manner. We rely on our feelings. We rely on our assumptions and our personal reasoning to guide ourselves. There's a form of confidence that's healthy and necessary. And we need to believe that we can fulfill the responsibilities that God has given us. But there's a crucial difference between confidence that's rooted in God and a confidence that's rooted in our own self and human ability. Confidence grounded in God flows from knowing who we are in Christ. Self-reliance, on the other hand, grows out of the mistaken belief that we're capable of directing our own lives apart from God. You see, the wise person chooses a different path. That instead of trusting yourself, you place your confidence in God, who knows your heart completely. The one who searches the heart is also the one who guides the life. And the more we learn and trust him, the more we discover that the trusting life is the blessed life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the word that speaks truth into our lives. We thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to warn us about these dangers, Lord, of trusting in our own understanding. Lord, we think we see clearly so often, and yet you remind us that our hearts can deceive us, that our wisdom is limited. Father, we confess that there have been times maybe when we've relied on our own steps instead of relying on you and trusting in you. We followed our own reasoning rather than seeking your will. So we come before you and we ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for those moments of self-reliance. Draw our hearts back to you in a complete dependence, Lord. And we pray that you would teach us to trust you fully. When we face those decisions in life, give us the humility, Lord, to ask for your guidance in the scripture, the courage to obey what you show us. Lord, and help us, Lord, to be like we just read about it, like the tree that's planted by the water, that's rooted in your word, sustained in your presence, unshaken by the pressures around us. Lord, remind us that the true blessings of life don't come from our own strength, but come from our relationship with you. So fix our hearts, Lord, on you, the fountain of living water, and guard us, Lord, from turning to anything else that would take your place. When we face those pressures, when we face the crises of life, help us, Lord, to remember that the safest place that we can stand is in complete trust in you. We ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight in person. Thank you for being there with us online. We'll be back Sunday morning, 9:15 for Sunday school. Come join us if you can. 10:30 for worship. If you're not able to get out, we encourage you to join us on any of those social media platforms there. I don't see any other prayer requests that are listed there. So thank you so much for being with us. You have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you this coming Sunday.